Street. The news out of the U.S. today is dominated by two cases of police officers fatally shooting black men. And in one of them, part of the officer's interaction with the man's girlfriend was live streamed over the internet right after the officer opened fire. It happened in Minnesota, and the incident began as a traffic stop at about 9 o'clock last night in a suburb of St. Paul. We're about to play some of the sound of the video Diamond Reynolds began streaming while the officer still had his gun pointed into the car. So you may want to turn your radio down for the next minute or so. As the video begins, her boyfriend, Philando Castile, is slumped in his seat. There's a lot of blood on his shirt. And Reynolds' four-year-old daughter is in the back seat. And the images and some of the sounds in the video are disturbing, to say the least. So again, you may want to turn your radio down for the next 30 seconds or so.
We got pulled over for a busted tail light in the back. And the police just, he's covered. He killed my boyfriend. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket. And he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet. And the officer just shot him in his arm.
You told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand up.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh my God, please don't tell me he's dead.
In fact, Philando Castile died later in hospital, and later in the video, you can hear Reynolds' daughter trying to comfort her. We're going to have several interviews about this between now and 5 o'clock, starting with Kurt Sampson. He's an expert in the kind of technology used to stream this terrible moment live to the internet. Kurt works in information technology services at Dalhousie University, and he dropped into our studio earlier this afternoon. Thanks for coming in.
Sure thing. You're welcome.
You saw this video this morning?
Yes, I did. Yes.
What do you think when you saw it?
It's still a little hard to just to leave and listen to. Especially having a little girl myself. That she had to go through that. And from my professional perspective as IT, mobile IT professionals specifically, I think, we're lucky to have this much of it on video. It's sort of, we know that there's always two sides to every story, and before this technology came around, one of those sides was kind of the only, really overpowered the other side when it came to any sort of litigation or in courts and even in the court of public opinion, right? Having this ability to video, it really brings sort of a third objective view to these kind of situations. It's too bad she really wasn't broadcasting a little bit earlier.
Yeah. She was using her smartphone to broadcast. This was live streaming, which has been around for a little while, but it's certainly starting to gain in popularity, right? This whole use of this technology.
Yeah, I would say probably still the majority of users, at least sort of in our category, would maybe not know how to do this, but it is very easy to do.
How do you do it? For people who aren't aware?
For someone who's not aware, if you want to be able to do this, you really just need to go to the App Store on your smartphone and download, there are a few different apps. The one that I generally use is called Periscope. I don't use it a lot. I don't really have any need to myself, but you download Periscope, you create an account, log in. From then on, if you ever need to broadcast live anything, it's just a couple clicks away. You unlock your phone, launch Periscope, hit the big red button, and you're live. You can have it linked to your Twitter account. Twitter actually owns Periscope, which is probably why it's so popular. And so when you start broadcasting, it posts a tweet and says, you're broadcasting with a link. It's recorded remotely. It's recorded on your phone. It's recorded remotely on the Periscope servers. If your phone is turned off or taken or deleted from your phone, the video is still there. So, you're live to
So are you live to the world, or who exactly can see it?
Well, anyone who can see your posts on Twitter, which generally is pretty much anybody. You can, in the settings, make it private so that your streams when you start one are private and you can share them later. Mm-hmm. But by default, they're public.
She was using Facebook Live, yeah. Right? So is it the same situation with Facebook Live?
I think it's the same situation. I haven't used the Facebook Live feature personally. But, I mean, basically, if you could post it to your wall on Facebook, it should follow Facebook's privacy policies as far as your default settings for who can see your posts.
Right.
That's global or friends of friends or whatever.
And so you can go live stream, or you can also save it to your photo library, right?
And both at the same time, really. By default, they both happen. So it's saved on your phone, and it broadcasts live. And it's live, and it's also archived.
So in a situation such as the one in the news today, even if police seize the camera or somebody tries to delete the videos or the photos, the video will still be out there.
And once something's live on the internet, it's really hard to make that disappear. I guess if the police took your phone, were able to log into your account, your Periscope account or whatever as yourself and delete it from there, it would be a little bit more gone, but I would suspect that the servers on the other end probably still have a copy of that somewhere if you really needed it for legal purposes. But, legally and... I'm not the expert. I know you guys are going to be talking to the expert, David Fraser, later about these. Legally, they're not allowed to do that here in Canada, to take your phone or for recording, or to delete, even to ask to see what you recorded. So
when I watched this, I quickly concluded that this is probably one of the most powerful pieces of video that I've ever seen live streamed so far. Can you ever imagine yourself live streaming an interaction with a police officer? Or a conversation with a politician, or any other situation where you felt accountability might be an issue? It sounds like that is happening. We're seeing it more and more.
Well, I think that's what it is. I think it's that we're seeing it more and more. I don't know if necessarily it's happening more. I kind of hope it's happening less because we're seeing it more. And that is the big benefit of why you would do something like this is for that transparency and hopefully accountability that should accompany that. I kind of hope that I wouldn't be in a situation where I'd feel the need to do that, especially something like this. But I definitely would, I'll be ready if I do find myself in that situation. I do, I have the phone here like anyone can. And I've already have the app, and I know how to push the button. So it would be easy to do in a situation like this. I certainly would. Click, click, click. Three clicks away, and you're broadcasting to the world. I mean, you think how hard that was a couple decades ago. I mean, you guys could do it here at CBC, but the regular person on the street couldn't do anything near that. And now you can, so it's pretty amazing.
Kurt, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Kurt Sampson works in information technology services at Dalhousie University. Mobile technology is his specialty. And coming up after the news, two more perspectives on this story.